So tonight's study, I mentioned it's just incredible looking at the emails throughout the week, how someone, and I'm sorry, I can't remember and put the name to the email because there's just so many that happen, but someone wrote something about the word scattered, and that's in the study tonight. And I wasn't satisfied with the study. I couldn't sleep at night. I get up and I start to look at that word scattered. So if we get to it tonight, well, we should because it's the first verse. But basically, that was just a revelation for me to hear it in the email and a blessing and a witness and a confirmation. So that happens so often. The Lord just reassures us that we are a body and we're working as one body and we are gleaning. We're like a field. If you think of the body of Christ as a vineyard, and we go out into that vineyard. And we ask the Lord, guide us, lead us, provide us our daily bread. And we find it in sometimes in the most unusual ways, but it's being given that hunger and that thirst, and then being given the insight to see that this is the Lord showing us that we're one and that we are truly working together as one body, one spirit. And that's very comforting because the world is divided, the world is scattered. And Jesus Christ is not. The body of Christ is one body. And God gives us more and more evidence as we seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, as we acknowledge Christ as the one who's creating that unity within the body, we come to be more and more blessed to understand what it is to be disciples and to be that fold that is elect. And being taken care of and being prepared to bring the rest in with Jesus Christ to be shepherds of the sheep. So these things and these points will come out somewhat tonight in the study. And I'd like to just read the first 11 verses. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you did march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped. At the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, did send a plentiful rain, whereby you did confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Sorry. The Lord God, the Lord gave that word. Great was the company of those that published it. Right near the end of the psalm we're looking at tonight, we find the title of our study in verse 34, which says, ascribe you strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Those words truly define the exercise that we are called unto as the Lord makes his strength perfect through the Israel of God, who is, was, and will be perfected by the means that God has devised to reconcile all of his creation. That means is described in verse 34 of the psalm as his excellency and his strength, which we know he is making perfect through the weak and marred vessels of clay that God created. So if he is making his strength perfect through us today, then we must conclude in this verse that we are those clouds that he is perfecting and preparing to bring his strength and excellency over the rest of Israel in their appointed time. And I should add that is how God has devised a means to reconcile the rest of the world. We're reconciled first, but God is using the body of Christ. He's devised that means to reconcile the rest. Last week, we talked about how there is a process to going on to perfection and how the body of Christ is that means to an end that God uses to reconcile the elect today who are being judged and who will ultimately have the ability and power to go into all the earth and judge the world without, as we're being judged within. So they, the world without, can learn righteousness, which God is forming in us through this life in Christ that we share today. So this is the verse that we always look to when we talk about going on to perfection. Of course, the third day I shall be perfected. Isaiah 26:9. Judgments in the earth. It says that's when righteousness is learned. And this verse in Hebrews, where it talks about how we have a high priest and how powerful the word of God is. And then in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted to comfort. So these verses, of course, all tie into 1 John 4:17, as pretty much most verses do. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. If we're being judged, Christ must have been judged in his flesh, and he was. And we are judged for that reason, so that we can learn to comfort others with the comfort with which we're comforted. And we just heard Deb's story, so a very timely example of how God immediately used her experience to comfort her through the prayers of the saints. Now she has this insight and this understanding. She'll be able to be a great advocate to this woman because of what she's gone through. So we really have a precious calling because God is developing each of our trials, each of our lives, so that we can be an advocate to very specific people and very specific circumstances. And that is why it's so important that we do go through stuff, that we suffer, that we bear a cross, and we thank God for that cross because we know that's how he is training us up. What a joy to know that we serve a God whose eyes never slumber or sleep and whose sole purpose, that's not written right, and whose sole purpose is to develop a family whose care and love for one another is unparalleled and made perfect through our weakness. And that's the verse that talks about that, of course, 2 Corinthians. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This psalm speaks very much about the power of God and the effect that his hand has working in our lives. He is burning up the vanity within us that wants to hold on to this life, this temporary existence that we have, which is like a mist or smoke that is driven away, or as wax that melts before a fire, like it says. This burning and suffering that we go through in our life is how the wicked perish at the presence of God within us, and it describes how we lose our life so that we may gain the life of Christ, where we can find power and love and soundness of mind to become more than conquerors through him. And Christ says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. And Romans 8:37. We mention this verse a lot because it's so affirming. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And, you know, and when I say him, I mean, I just more and more think through Christ, through everyone on this call, through my brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel like I'm more than a conqueror. I know the world will reject me. I am part of that stone that's being rejected, but I'm not rejected by Jesus Christ. And so it is through Christ and through the body of Christ that we are going to endure to the end of this age. We are called to think it not strange, but to know that it is part of the process in our walk as Christians to have to endure fiery trials. We come to know that we are being purified by those fiery experiences, and we are brought to see it all as a blessing and a witness that God is working with us as he gives us light affliction, which is but for a moment. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, mind you, it may not seem light when you're going through it, but God gets us through, and we look back, and I remember talking to Betty about that. She said, you know, I look back at the trials. If you talk to the elders in the church and say, and look at their life and how God's worked in their life, and you see, wow, how did you get through that? Enormous trials. I won't go into them, but God is witnessing to us through our family that if they can go through this, if they can drink that cup, like Christ said, you will drink this cup. So we have hope, and we have hope in Christ and what Christ has already done through the body. As always, we need to ask God to help us see how these verses apply to the destruction of the man of sin within each of our own lives, being destroyed by the brightness of Christ and his word that is sanctifying us in this age. So when God's word sanctifies us, that's what it's doing. It's truly destroying the old man, the vanity, the pride, the lust, the envy, everything that separates us and scatters us from the body of Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, put a sword through the old man and let us live in Christ. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God. Our enemies are being scattered, both within and without. And God has purpose for all men to hate us, both within and without. Seeing all the sin of the world is within us and without. So we have to keep that relationship in tow. We have to remember the kingdom of God is within. And we're guilty of all. We're the chief of sinners. We know all these verses, but we have to see, God has to grant us to see, rather, how these things work, and they work together for the good. God has shown us that he's going to give us victory over the sin of the world through Jesus Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if the love of God is in you, it's going to compel you to not love the world any longer. And that in itself is a process too. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The actions of all mankind witness how we are beasts, sheep, scattered by the shepherd, in John 2:15, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And we need to live this experience of being scattered, so that God willing, we can be gathered in this age by a loving shepherd, as he creates a ministry of reconciliation through the church, who have been given the power to reconcile Christ's body, so that we can enter into God's temple as changed and converted beasts. We're not the same beasts, but God doesn't let us forget, as you recall in the study of Revelation, Mike mentioned that God does not let us forget our origins, where we come from, and that's humbling, and it's important. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Revelation 15:8. So this is when the new beast can enter in after these trials and tribulations. The smoke was filled, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And it is God's glory, because we go from glory to glory, as God drags us to Christ and we have that that process of burning up. Revelation 4:10, the four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, that's okay. We're no longer looking behind at past transgressions and sinful life, but see and understand that we are in a marred vessel that is being made anew as we reach forth unto the things which are before. We need to forgive ourselves within and forgive the world without. And this can only happen by our dying daily and being given to be on a cross with Christ day by day. And we uttered this just before the study too, you know, this forgiving the world and seeing past the inability of mankind to judge a matter right and to judge a matter righteously and speedily and to see things get worse and worse. We need to be prepared to forgive all of this sin that's going to manifest at the end of this age more and more readily. Remember Lot's wife. She was drawn back into that world. She became lukewarm. She's a woman. She's a type of the church. And without the power of Christ in us, we would do the same thing. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, not himself, because Paul knew it was Christ working in him, both to will and to do the Father's good pleasure. So he didn't count himself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, he presses toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ. But we know, I mean, we have to look at the sum of God's word. Who was doing that in Paul? It was Christ working in him both to will and to do. And so we see Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So I'm showing there that with the crucifixion of Christ here, there's forgiveness being given. And when we're crucified with Christ, we are in a mode of forgiveness. We're mortifying the deeds of our flesh that don't want to forgive. With the crucifixion, with Christ on the cross, we are in the position we need to be to forgive. That's where our strength is. And that's how we reconcile ourselves to each other and to the body of Christ and ultimately to the world one day. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily on that cross. Our sins separate us or scatter us from God. But being led unto repentance reconciles us to one another and to our Father in Christ, which is what I was just saying. Psalms 51 says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Yeah, we have sin ever before. Sin is in us. We are in marred vessels. But more than that, God says he always allows a certain amount of leaven to be in us to remind us that we have been given victory through Jesus Christ. We need to die daily and we need to fight this fight of faith together as a body of Christ. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And Mark 10:8, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And Ephesians 2:14, this is saying the same thing, all saying the same thing. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. And with Christ in us, we do that for each other. We break down that middle wall of partition. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, showing us our attitude toward the world. The world will wax worse and worse. And if we're crucified with Christ and dying daily, we will know the world is just doing what they can't understand or even know why they're doing it. We are purposely scattered of God and made to be at enmity against our Creator and one another, and then twain becomes one, Christ and his body, or husband and wife, fathers and children, children to fathers, as it says in Malachi 4:6. This is truly speaking of the body of Christ. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. And it's all types and shadows of the one bread and one spirit that the body of Christ is, and how all the world or the whole lump is serving a holy purpose, as Romans 11:16 puts it, Romans 11:16, for if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. 1 Corinthians talks about being one bread. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So that's interesting. Our hope is joined together. We're hoping together. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The positive type of scattering, as opposed to seeing the hypocrisy of our flesh being exposed when we learn that Christ has been smitten of God and we have scattered as a result. If we can just look at that, it says, then says Jesus unto them, and you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So it's in the darkness of our mind. It's at night that we offend God. Where was I now? Christ has been smitten of God, and we have scattered as a result. And it is to make the beast. Now let me read this again here. I'm a little bit lost. The positive type of scattering, as opposed to seeing the hypocrisy of our flesh being exposed, when we learn that Christ has been smitten of God and we have scattered as a result, is to make the beast scatter from the temple, or to witness Christ as the true shepherd within his body, make the beast of the field to scatter. In Deuteronomy 7:22, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon you. And Numbers 14:9, only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Like King David, who in type and shadow scattered and destroyed both man and beast, which are the same unto God. So the point being here is just that these are blessings when we have to come up against those things which have to be overcome, because that is what strengthens us, of course. And here is John 10:12-14 talking about scattering again. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. So Peter, it's interesting if you think of Peter's infamous night when he denies Christ three times, and because he truly wanted to prove to Christ that he was not a hireling, but he was a hireling, and we all are, until Christ gives us the strength to stand up against the giants in the land, and the bear and the lion, and whatever it is that we have to overcome. And so we need to be praying and staying close to God, so that we don't go out into these battles that God sets before us day by day as we die daily, thinking that we can make war. That would be destructive, and it would destroy our courage. And like Diana was saying, we need to see the world falling apart, but we need to rejoice. Christ said there will be wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not afraid. These things are all prophesied. God says they're going to happen, but he is giving us the knowledge to know that these things are happening, so that we'll draw close to our Creator and we'll say, give me that spiritual suit of armor that David knew in shadow and type was what was going to destroy the giant. And that giant was going to be bread for him, and it was going to be bread for Israel. And so we're all King David. We all have different giants that we have to fight every day, and God blesses us to have them. and we nourish one another as a result of our trials and the things that we come up against, and we witness of his power and might through that process. Did I get to hear? Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. So there's your witness, two beasts, two animals, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And of course, we take that right inside and think of those things within us that are uncircumcised and need to be put off. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Ecclesiastes, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. In summary, for these two verses, and I know that was a long summary there, it is God who is gathering the nations within to bruise Christ and his Christ both within and without, as discussed in Acts 4:27-28. So this point is very important. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. So God is causing the scattering is what I want to show here. And it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, who is going to enable us to be redeemed and be the kings and priests who redeem all nations, languages, tongues, and peoples. So you see the contrast there in Acts 4, where all of those nations come up against Christ and his Christ, and then God uses his elect to redeem the rest. In Revelation 7:9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So it makes it really clear to us, who is doing the redeeming here? Christ is our Redeemer, of course. And God is the one who allows Christ to be smitten and to see the sheep scattered. Death is an enemy that is destroyed by the death of Christ and his Christ, who are as sheep for the slaughter. Or like I said earlier, we're that rejected stone. That's why we have to be rejected, because if we're not rejected, then that means we've been accepted. And Christ says, woe unto those to whom the world speaks well. When men speak well of you, that's not a good sign. Romans 8:36. And you know, men will speak well of you in front of their face. I have that happening to me all the time. But the Lord shows me behind the scenes what's really happening, how people really feel. And it doesn't take long to find out when when things change. And so God shows us what's in our hearts through the hearts of men, and hopefully, God willing, we're changing. So here it is, Romans 8:36. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And the word scattered has both a positive and negative use, but are both needed to accomplish God's predetermined purpose for humanity. 2 Corinthians is a very important point to remember, because all of the promises are yes in God, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Well, what does that mean? It means that everything is working together for the good. That pillar of light with light and darkness, everything. God is fashioning it all. And here it is mentioned again, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel, and look at that word counsel, of his own will. And then we'll look at Acts 4 for the last part of the study. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod, Pilate, Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. So God has set the stage for the redemption of the world, and it is by the scattering and then the gathering. And we are so blessed to be gathered. Every time we come together, we're blessed because iron does sharpen iron. That's the first two verses. Any comments on those? Anybody? Steve, your hand is up there. And Wendy has her hand up. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just had to unmute myself. Yes, you know, thanks for, you know, you always do a good study, Tony. But, you know, I was going to say something in the beginning, you know, how we were talking about different things. Well, when scripture came up in my mind as you were talking, but right here in the study, in this part of the study here, you just mentioned about, you know, going out to make war, you know, that we don't want to go out and make war. Anyway, I just want to throw this one scripture in there before I go on with the actual study. And this one scripture just comes to mind about what you were saying, Tony, you know, about like going to war. Also, is in the discussion that we were talking about, you know, all of us there. But anyway, this is Matthew, excuse me, because I'm all congested, Matthew 10:16. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of woods. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, because this world, we know, like Christ said that the people hated him because he testified that the works of this world were evil. Yeah. And they hated him for it. Anyway, I just want to bring up these one scriptures that, you know, come to mind about, you know, your study here. And this is from Luke 3, and starting here with 4. And it says, "And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you?" And, you know, this is one of the key verses that made me bring these scriptures up. "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Begin not to say within ourselves that we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which brings forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And for not there, I'm going to quote from Revelations, excuse me. This is Revelations 6:14, I'll start with, down to 17. It says, "The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondwoman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" Yeah. Then I'm going to read these scriptures, Tony, from Thessalonians. Excuse me. And I'll end it here. It's all part of it, you know. This is, 6:1-2. These scriptures that I'm covering are for 1 and 2. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:5-12. It says, "Remember ye not that I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I ended there.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's just a really nice series of scriptures and very, very inspiring. I just wanted to mention that I'm glad you brought up the part about the stones there, because he says, Christ says to them, don't think that you can trust in your traditions, basically, you know, in Abraham and their earthly traditions. And then right after he says that, he says, I can raise these stones, and that those stones can do what God basically has purposed for them to do, and that they'll praise God. Well, those stones are a type of the rejected stone that we are with Christ. And so you just, because you read that, I don't know, that just became very bright to me. It's also a type of being of the one seed, because stones refer to testicles.
Well, that's what we are, Tony. We're the living stones.
And we are living stones and one seed, right? So God is showing us through that that we naturally trust in our traditions. I mean, and he tells us not to do it, you know. Don't lean on the traditions of men, because it's vanity to God. It's passing, and it's... But if we trust in the living God, like you just said, in the living stone, in the living waters of Jesus Christ, that's what will grow us and mature us. And thank you for bringing those verses up. You were going to say something else. I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah, that's okay, Tony. It's just that, you know, when you're talking, then you mentioned that there are just other scriptures that come with the stones. And one of them is when our Lord was making his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they told Christ to revoke your disciples. And Christ said that even the stones would cry out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Same principle, right? That
Well, you know, the stones is, like you said, type and shadow of God's elect.
Yes. The living waters that came out of the rock that Moses disobediently smote, and as a type of the law, you know, the law destroys. But the living waters of Christ come forth from that stone. But it's on the heels of the law for the lawless. So we start there, and we hold on to the traditions of Moses, and then we come to know the law of Christ, the law that God's given us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Steve, as always. And Wendy, your hand was up. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Tony, for the study, and Steve for the additions, and Gail also. my heavens kept going towards the word scatter, so that made me want to look it up. And scatter also quite often means to separate. It also means asunder. But one of the things that I thought very interesting with that word scatter was that in the definition it says to set off. Oops, hold on a minute. That might be the wrong one. Let me make sure. Let me go to the Romans one. I've got a couple of scriptures here. In Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate, which means scatter also, us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hmm. But one of the definitions is to place room between. and we are fitly being joined together.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things me and Mike, we were talking today is we're becoming dense.
Yeah.
Like Rona wood, you can't break it. I mean, if you put a chainsaw to it, you're going to break your chain.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So we're being fitly joined together. There's no room between us. So anyway, I was just really drawn to that word.
Oh, that's incredible.
Let that which God bring together, no man put asunder. Yeah, so anyway.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a beautiful witness of how God places us in the body for the strength of the body. And it says to, you know, this is something that we grow in maturity and understanding. And it says to operate in the measure of faith that God's given you. Be grateful, be thankful, because whatever you're doing is the most important thing you can be doing for the body of Christ. My foot is doing exactly what it needs to do to get me across the room. And if it is going to be contentious and not do what it's supposed to do, the whole body is going to be affected by that. So I really love that point, Wendy, because we are a body, and God knows how to make that body more and more compact, like you were saying, and it's going to have to be to stand up against the wiles of the devil, who God is going to allow to deceive even the very elect if it were possible. But it's not possible. That's the point. Christ is not going to fail. He is going to make this body an incredible, strong Gideon's army that can stand up against whatever the world is going to be allowed to throw at us. So, you know, Christ's words, he says, there will be wars and rumors of war. See that you be not afraid. Why? Because we have the body of Christ. We have a shield of faith. We have this blessing of knowing that we're being prepared. And thank you for that.
Thank you.
8:51. I don't know if we're going to... No, I don't think we're going to get into the rest of the study, but that was a blessing regardless of how far we go. And I never know how far we are going to go. But and of course, I'm anxious to go through everything, but the Lord is teaching me patience in that as well, because, you know, the Word of God has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I'm sure that we can ruminate and continue to draw from everything that's here little by little. Is there any other last comments, though, before we go? Any other thoughts on any part of the study? We'll come back and finish the rest there as far as the Lord will have us go next week. I see, was there someone there? No, that's... Do you see how you... Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. We're very grateful. And God bless you.
Thank you, Tony.
Welcome.
Thank you, Tony.
Love you all.
Thank you, Tony.
Welcome.
Thank you, Tony.
Love you.
Love you all. Good night.
Love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Peace in Christ.
Good
night.
Good night.
Arrivederci. Arrivederci. That's it.